What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here from ProWrestling.net for the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Today is Friday, May 18th, 2012, and today we're going to talk about the TNA Impact episode that aired on May 17th. And this one, you know, before the episode even started, there was news. I mean, yesterday was a big day in all sorts of things in wrestling, but perhaps the biggest thing that happened, well, two. One is Raw decided, hey, we're going to go to 3 hours. And I am not on the negative Nelly side of this. I'm not one of those people who's sitting around going, oh my word, WWE is doomed now because Raw's going to 3 hours. That, you know, yeah, it is very, very possible that we're going to see campy 3 hour Raw action on a weekly basis, that we're going to see something frustrating, that we're going to see a product that we don't like. It's just as possible that instead of, you have to remember, the 3 hour Raws that they do now are specials. They're trying to come up with a gimmick, the People's Choice Raw, or which apparently, we'll get into that in a second. Yes, I'm running down news here too, guys, get over it. But they're trying to come up with a gimmick like People's Choice Raw, or King of the Ring, or, you know, Old School, which was really good. But, you know, they're trying to come up with these special gimmick Raws instead of just saying, let's just put on a damn good Raw. This is them going, hopefully, let's put on a damn good Raw for 3 hours every week. And hopefully that will mean we get a good show, we get young talent exposed, we get a lot of what we want to see. And it gives them a little bit of breathing room. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I do think there's a risk of overexposure. I do think there's a risk that the, you know, dude, I watched Raw for 3 hours this week. Hell no, I'm not watching SmackDown and, oh, don't even get me started on that. Those other shows. You know, there is that risk, but I don't think the comparison to Nitro going to 3 hours, quote-unquote, killing WCW, is necessarily apt. Also, I just want to point out, you know, WCW, yeah, they got overexposed by Nitro going to 3 hours, but that was hardly the reason that they went down. I think it had something to do with it, and it overextended some talent, overextended especially the creative team, which is really the concern here with Raw going to 3 hours permanently. If I'm on that, let's say, you know, I'm a member of the WWE creative team. This is my week right now, on a pay-per-view week. Write a 3 hour pay-per-view on Sunday night. Write a 3 hour episode of Raw for Monday. Write 2 hours of SmackDown for Tuesday. That's 8 hours that I'm trying to write. Plus, you know, a Superstars taping. If they're doing the NXT at Full Sail stuff, that's going to fit in there. All of that, you know, you're getting 8, 9, 10 hours a week. Whew! That's going to be rough on them. But hopefully they will bolster creative and be able to handle it. You know, I'm excited about it because I think it's going to mean that we get more good matches on Raw. Hopefully some younger talent gets a chance to break out because not every moment is as make or break as it was before. Some people, one commentator mentioned a 2.2 rating. They're predicting that for Raw before the end of the year, and I very much disagree with that. I think we may see them, you know, we're seeing them 2.9 this past week, around the low threes. I think we might see him in the 2.7 range on occasion because, man, you know, that first hour doesn't draw viewers. But also remember, when you're saying that first hour never draws, that's because it's not regular. I don't turn on USA to watch NCIS reruns. So I'm not used to going there at that time. And, you know, I remember when there's a 3 hour Raw because I love wrestling. And it's, you know, I'm one of those people who says, man, I can't wait to watch it. Yeah. I will remember every week that there's a 3 hour Raw. So will, you know, a bunch of other people. I think we're going to see that first hour average out around what the other 2 hours do pretty swiftly, especially once they make that first hour a major happening. You've got to tune in to see the opening to get the rest of the show. But yeah, 3 hours is a lot. I'm excited about it. I hope it means a good wrestling show, but I will be disappointed if it doesn't. Let's talk now. You know, this is supposed to be breaking down the TNA Impact TV show, right? Let's talk now about TNA Impact going live on a weekly basis starting in 2 weeks. They're going live all summer long. That's pretty exciting. I might actually, depending on my schedule, have to start doing this thing on Thursday nights just for the fun of it. That's a big move for TNA. That is a really big move. It doesn't solve 75% of their problems, but I think it does help the talent a little bit. They're going to have a little more of a sense of urgency when they go out there. I think it helps the product. You know, it just feels a little different when it's live. I do have a few qualms about it. One, Mike Tenay and Taz suck. That, you know, you want people to tune in and watch your live product. They suck without being post-produced. They suck with being post-produced. Imagine how they're going to sound not post-produced. Second qualm, if you will. TNA's gone Twitter crazy on pay-per-view for the last few months. Now that they're getting a live TV show, it's going to be like, Twitter presents TNA Impact Wrestling. And, you know, where the rumor is that WWE signed a big deal with Twitter. And Twitter is, you know, Twitter loves the money they're making off of WWE using all of their stuff. I don't think TNA has signed that big of a deal. I think Dave Lagana just sits there and is like, yeah, Twitter's awesome. Social networking changed the world. And we're just going to get a whole lot of Twitter on that show. And maybe Bully Ray will live update on his MySpace, which I would totally go to if that happened. I wonder, you know that person whose MySpace for some reason actually is Capzilla? I wonder if that guy on Sunday night was like, holy crap, I'm getting a lot of MySpace friend requests. Wait, MySpace? How did that they even get my email? I'm just kind of curious. But yeah, those are some qualms. My other qualm is... Qualm. I'm loving the word qualm today, guys. Qualm. My other concern is TNA, lately especially, has done a really good job with sweetening the sound a little bit. Before, they did a terrible job at piping in heat. And it showed. But they've done a nice job of some unique camera angles and things like that to make you think that the crowd is actually cheering. And, you know, interspersing things, editing in clips, all of that. They've done a really great job. Well, what happens when they can't do that? What, you know, Eric or Garrett Bischoff gets booed out of the arena. And are we supposed to then turn around and cheer him? Like, what's the deal there? So they've really got to focus on, you know, on getting their stars actually over. And getting them over to the fans in attendance. I mean, these are theme park crowds most of the time. And yeah, there's some regulars and there's some people who might be in Orlando on vacation and said, I watch TNA regularly. I want to go see that show. I hope there are. I also think a Thursday night crowd at a theme park is much better than a Monday or Tuesday night crowd. Mondays at a theme park tend to be awesome if you have an annual pass to said theme park and go all the time. But they will probably be dead. Tuesdays are similar. But Thursdays can be a fun night. You know, Thursdays, you got a lot of college students around, a lot of stuff like that, where people, they just want to go. And, you know, college students are the kind of people who will go and sit and watch a TNA show and have fun with it. I mean, I do know, and I'm finishing grad school this year, I do know that if I personally lived in Orlando... Yeah, I'd probably have a pass and go to TNA shows and stuff. Again, I like wrestling that much. I would also probably sit there and snark on the product like I have to every TNA pay-per-view I've ever gone to. Funny story. In 2007, my brother and I went to the Slammiversary show. And we just kind of made fun of it the whole time. I felt bad. And yeah, it was awesome. Then we got threatened on the way out by a guy in a Kurt Angle t-shirt. That felt good. I feel like I did my job. So, now that we've got kind of covering those and discussing them out of the way, we went through all that. Let's talk about the actual show I'm supposed to be reviewing, TNA Impact Wrestling for May 17th. But first, some quick .NET plugs. .NET member side, guys. Say it weekly to you here on the All Access Podcast. I'm going to say it again. That .NET membership option. It's worth it. You know, you get audio reviews like this for every major show, except not all of them are me. So that's something you can be happy about. But you've got Chris Shore and Jake Barnett on SmackDown. You've got Jason Powell on Raw. You've got me on TNA. What more can you ask for right there? Jason Powell does every pay-per-view. For the WWE ones, normally he is joined by Chris Shore or another member of our staff. Boom! What more can you ask for there? You're getting insight, news, analysis right there on those. Plus, check it. The .NET Weekly Audio Show. Jason Powell and Chris Shore sitting down for 2 hours or more talking about the news of the week. Oftentimes, first-run news, backstage perspectives. What are people behind the scenes saying about X, Y, and Z? You're getting that on that show and nowhere else. It's not out on the site. It's not on those copy and paste villains out there. No. It's on ProWrestling.net in the .NET Weekly Audio Show. And you just got to listen and find some gems in there. Dig through because, man, they are there. Almost on a weekly basis, they are there. On top of that, member-exclusive interviews. Recent ones with former WWE creative team members Chris Roach and Chris DeJoseph. A recent interview with Eddie Edwards, Gabe Sapolsky, Larry Dallas, gosh, who else? Fairly recent ones with Sean Daivari, Hurricane Helms, and, you know, going way back, he got interviews with Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, interviews with former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel, former WWE creative team member, Court Bauer, Seth Mates, former WWE creative team member, has dropped by quite a few times on three WrestleMania audios, 25, 27, and 28. He's been at ProWrestling.net talking about it in audio form. You can't beat it. Plus, you get ad-free access to the site. I hate ads. I really don't mind them that much. I actually go to the ad-based site on occasion, too. But you get ad-free access to the site if you want to avoid all the ads. And you get access to the .NET members forum where, you know, if you have a question for Jason, have a question for Chris, myself, Jake, Ryan, any of us, boom. Drop it in there. We're happy to interact with you and answer all of this on ProWrestling.net. If you like what I'm saying right now, if my energy, persistence, and verve has sold you on it, head on over to ProWrestling.net. Membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that bad boy. Put in your info. As low as $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. And maybe you don't want to. Maybe you just want to try it out. Maybe you're sitting there suspicious. How is this Harold Hill-like salesman on the wrestling audio show getting you to want it so bad? If you're one of those people, just take the one-month option. Just try it out, baby. And it's going to be worth it. $7.50 if you just want to try it out for a month. Again, ProWrestling.net. Membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Click it. Boom. Get on in there. Listen to the audio. You know, interact with us in the forum. Have some fun with us. And, you know, you're not going to regret it. We really, we are very proud of the product that we put out. And, you know, I know I'm kind of smooth talking you a little bit, but we really are very proud of it. And for the members listening who are saying, shut up, Will, and get to the actual show analysis after 13 minutes of blithering, we really do appreciate all of our members. And we are very grateful to have as many as we do. And, you know, always trying to increase that number and always enjoying the fact that it does seem to be going up. So come on in, guys. Come on into .NET membership. It's well worth it. I say it's the best value in a wrestling website membership, which is an extremely limited category with like 4 or 5 other sites. But I really think we have the best value. We give you the most bang for your buck. And, it, you know, we deliver high quality content on a regular basis. So that's kind of my earnest plug for this show. You know, it's important to be earnest. There is a certain importance of being earnest. Yeah. Anyways, if you want to follow along with me as we go through Impact, I'm going to be hitting up Jason Powell's live Impact coverage from last night. Let's just go through it from the top down. This show was built around Open Fight Night being next week. That's what, you know, the whole show pointed towards next week. Open Fight Night. Quick thought. Why did they not make their first live show an Open Fight Night? I know it's the gut check results show, and that matters a lot to them, brother. But why not make it Open Fight Night? I mean, the whole point of Open Fight Night is that it's unpredictable, and everybody fights, brother. That would have been a great first show to make it an Open Fight Night. Anyways, this whole show is about Open Fight Night being next week, and as part of that, Bobby Roode next week becomes the longest reigning TNA champion in history. The 5-year history of that belt, which was won by Kurt Angle at Slammiversary 2007 in a King of the Mountain match. I was at that show. The King of the Mountain match makes no sense. Gosh, I wish they were having one this year. So, this, Bobby Roode came out first and cut a promo about Sacrifice, which was a very good show, by the way. And says, you know, I beat Rob Van Dam. Next week, I'm hosting a championship celebration of domination. And I just thought, are you going to bring out Farooq, Kama Mustafa, D'Lo Brown, and The Rock and make it a real nation-style celebration of domination? Yeah, probably not. But, oh yeah, Mike Tenay also described the pay-per-view as terrific. Have I mentioned that Mike Tenay sucks? Terrific. That pay-per-view was terrific, guys! Yeah. Roode came out and called out Hulk Hogan. He said to make sure that his celebration party next week goes off without a hitch, he wants Hulk out there. And Hogan came out. He told Roode that he has a list, or Roode mentioned his list of demands, and Roode went through that whole, like, I want this particular type of bottled water, and I want a bowl of nothing but green M&Ms. Quick thought, side note on the green M&M thing, because working in production, it actually bothers me a little bit when people talk about, you know, having a writer, and, oh, they said they wanted the green M&Ms, or they will only drink Evian water. Secret sauce here. The reason those things exist, in most technical writers, yes, some people are insane. That's one reason. The other reason is, the technical writer is normally what a touring act brings with them into a venue. So I'm coming into your concert hall, and I have this writer that says I want X, Y, and Z. I need to check that you have the right speakers, that you have the right hookups for my projection equipment, that, you know, everything that I've asked for, that I have the particular piano I want, everything that I've asked for, it's there. Rather than check every inch of the building, they'll sneak in some stuff like, hey, a bowl of nothing but green M&Ms and Evian bottled water in the, you know, in the dressing room. They go into the dressing room first, walk in, you know, the manager can walk in there, look and go, we asked for Evian. What the hell is the Sparklins doing in there? Did you guys read the writer? And that's a tell to them. They can just check one thing and see if the writer's been followed. And if not, most of the time that act will say, sweet, I'm going to go. Call me when you're done adhering to the writer, and hopefully we can still do the show tonight. And of course the venue, which doesn't want to refund ticket sales, will suck it up and do it. But it actually does have a purpose beyond just being kind of rude. That's not to say it's not a little rude. And speaking of rude, let's get back to Bobby Roode making his demands. Hogan said, oh, that's a nice list of demands, brother, but next week is open fight night. And then Roode started comically overselling it. My buddy and I call this Heath Slatering. Because when Heath Slater gets bad news, he bounces off the, you know, he bounces off the ropes and turns his head all crazy. Like, that's what Bobby Roode did here. He went all Heath Slater on that action and overreacted. No, you can't. And Hogan made a big show out of, and I don't know what champion's going to defend his title. We had the tag titles up last month, brother. Is it going to be the woman's champion? Is it going to be the ex-champion? Or is it going to be the Bobby Roode world champion? And he announced it would be the world champion. And then he said, I've been in the back, and I'm wondering how many people want a shot at Bobby Roode. And, well, these are all of them. And basically the entire male roster and ODB came out to the stage. You know, all saying they want a shot at Bobby Roode. And Roode was just petrified at this point. And Hogan said tonight there's going to be a series of matches to determine who gets to go to, like, I guess the open fight night finals next week. And so those matches will be Bobby Roode. That'd be awesome. Bobby Roode wants his own title shot. He just goes up on the stage and stands with him like, yeah, let's get that guy. Oh, I want to see a wrestler try that. And not Eric Young. I want to see someone that isn't always funny be that funny. Not that Eric Young is always funny. He wasn't really all that funny to me on this show. So, long story short, Hogan announced that on this show, we're going to get Bully Ray versus Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson, Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle, and a battle royal with everybody else in it. So, that was the story. Then he started with that, he told Roode that if he wants to celebrate, he's got to fight. So next week, there is a world title match, and I like that. I thought they built that into that really well with, I'm going to be the longest reigning champion. After Slammiversary, I'm going to be the longest reigning champion. And now Rude has to go through another obstacle. It's a natural story. It makes next week's impact seem huge because either Rude loses and you see history made because there's a title change, or Rude wins and you see history made because he became the longest reigning champion with that win. That's his last obstacle. It's his last challenge. And I like that a lot. I thought when I was watching the show for about the first hour and a half that there would be a four-way match next week. And that's how they determine who got this. But no, it's the Hulk Hogan Picotron 5000, where he acts like a bad game show host, hyperbolizes everyone in the room, and ends up picking his favorite at the end. I would much rather see a four-way match. I will watch Survivor if I want to see people eliminated one by one. I want to watch wrestling for a wrestling match, and I thought that that would have been a nice way. You know, these guys are going to have a four-way match as the opener, and the winner gets the title shot at the end. It's a tried-and-true booking principle. You get them to buy into someone at the very beginning, and you see a payoff of some sort for it at the end. It's a little hot-shotty, but at the same time, for the type of for what they're doing, I think it's almost less hot-shotty than Hulk Hogan randomly picks a dude. So, yeah, that was a good opener. Recap of Abyss returning last week was shown, and we had Bully Ray pinning Rob Van Dam, and Jason Powell didn't bother to time the match minutes and seconds. Damn you, Jason. So, Rob Van Dam, this whole match was selling his injuries from the ladder match, which was really good. And Rob Van Dam's a trooper for going out there. And you know, he pert near killed his ankle in that ladder match. That was scary. And for going out there the next night, because this was taped on Monday, going out there the next night and wrestling even a short match with Bully Ray, hats off to Rob Van Dam. And, you know, maybe this new contract he's got is re-signing. Maybe there was a little bit of extra motivation slipped into Rob Van Dam's pocket to wrestle well and to, you know, put forth good efforts. But in this match, it was Rob Van Dam to coming off the top rope for a kick. Bully Ray moved. Rob Van Dam landed on his bad knee and kind of hit the ground and, you know, was adjusting his knee. Bully Ray hit him with a diamond cutter, basically RKO, whatever you want to call it. The announcers called it the one-man 3D. For the win. So Bully Ray, you know, you've got a heel in that open fight night mix now. That's good. You know, you don't want it to be all baby faces Hogan is picking between, and a heel of Bully Ray's caliber makes sense. The announcers talked about King Mo details after the break. Then backstage, Bully Ray was talking about being pissed off at the Kardashians. Not even kidding. That happened. And then Joseph Park walked up. Said, I think that fire my brother is referring to, I think it's you. And Bully Ray said, you stay away from me. And Park looked intrigued. Yeah, more of the same from Joseph Park. I figured once Abyss came back, we'd be getting a lot of storyline development. And we didn't get anything at the pay-per-view, not getting anything here. And I don't want to be one of those people that goes, I want quick stories, hot shot. But we've all seen Joseph Park walk up to people backstage and talk to them. We don't need more. The announcers then set up a clip of King Mo on MMA Uncensored or whatever it is live. Is it Uncensored? Yeah. WCW Uncensored Live. That would be awesome if it were just, if they were using the same graphics as WCW NWO Uncensored. They had King Mo, Dixie Carter, and Bjorn Rebny. I really love saying that man's name wrong. Bjorn Rebny. How's that? Bjorn. Basically, Dixie and Bjorn were talking about King Mo being a two-sport athlete in pro wrestling and MMA and how that was going to work. It was a fluff piece. It's something that was supposed to get King Mo and his signing over, and I'd say it worked for that. Backstage, Gail Kim talked to Madison Rayne about a three-way match she had tonight against Velvet Sky and Brooke Tessmacher, and Madison was all distracted by having a crush. And then Velvet Sky and Brooke Tessmacher walked up and made fun of Gail Kim. Say no to bullying. Austin Aries came out for the Battle Royal, and the camera showed the welts on his back as he was getting into the ring, and they went to commercial. When they came back, AJ Styles was making his entrance. with a few guys already in the ring. Styles didn't seem to be upset. You know, he wasn't like, the announcers were talking about the Dixie Carter situation, but it wasn't like, look at how angry and sad AJ Styles is. I'll bet he'll be easy to throw over the top rope. So then we had Eric Young come out with ODB. They both wrestled in the Battle Royal, and the other participants were Robbie E., Robbie T., Gunner, Garrett Bischoff, Magnus, Devon, and Crimson. Eric Young and ODB clotheslined Crimson over the top, and that took them both out of the ring as well. So it looks like we're in a full-on Eric Young and ODB versus Crimson feud. Oh, goody. And so Madison Rayne then walked on to the stage and made Doe Eyes at the ring, but they never saw who it was. And by golly, if it is Garrett Bischoff that she has a crush on, I quit. That's the end. That's the end of TNA for me. I really liked tonight's show. I thought it was one of the best impacts we've seen in a long time. I quit if it's Garrett Bischoff. I don't need more of that action. By the way, how right was I, guys, when I said one Bischoff being off TV makes it so the other one is not necessary? Yeah, we're getting Garrett in some matches on occasion, but I don't see no Garrett Bischoff cutting promos. I don't see Garrett Bischoff, wrestling singles matches. It's the third week in a row where he hasn't really done much. Love it. So, this was a pretty good Battle Royal. The action was really nice, and it picked up a ton when we got to AJ Styles, Gunner, and Austin Aries in the ring. Gunner was down on the floor selling, so AJ and Aries went at it and had a great showdown in exchange. They had a bit of a stare down, but the crowd was too busy singing na 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 and booing Garrett Bischoff as he left to really pop for it. But once they started going, it was action. Aries and Styles, they're such similar wrestlers. They can fly, they can do the technical stuff, and they do both so extremely well. This is a match right here that I think they're going to main event Destination X with. Austin Aries versus AJ Styles. I think AJ says, I want to go back to where I came from, the X Division, and I want to become X Division champion one more time. Aries is standing in his way. If Aries drops a belt clean, you know what? It is a way for him to lose that title without having to lose a key match to someone that is kind of beneath him. If Aries retains the belt, then he beat former TNA World Champion AJ Styles. And he can talk about that. He can talk it up. And if they are thinking of turning AJ heel, if they're contemplating it, and I don't believe they are, but if they are, hey, you got a heel AJ Styles right there. You got a babyface Austin Aries, and you can make that into quite the feud and make it go for quite a while. These are guys that I would kill to see in a ladder match together, that I'd love to see in a Ultimate X together. There are these matches that I would love to see between these guys. As that exchange was going on, Gunner recovered, threw Aries out of the ring. Then went after AJ. AJ picked him up, tossed him over the top. AJ Styles qualifies for a spot to be picked possibly by Hulk Hogan if Hulk is nice to him that day. Stupid. Then we saw a video. We went to commercial, saw a video recap of Daniels, Kazarian, and AJ and that whole story. And then we came back. And he talks about the photos of him and Dixie Carter. Says things aren't what they seem. They're both happily married. He said she's awesome, but they aren't what they seem like. Then Kazarian and Daniels walked out. And basically this was them going, oh, things aren't what they seem because look at my iPad. This iPad has a video. And that video is of you and Dixie Carter walking into a hotel room together. AJ kept, things aren't what they seem. You don't know the truth. And finally, AJ Styles left. And Kazarian and Daniels talked about the truth hurting. So Daniels did really well here as a pest. AJ, I'm just waiting to see how they get out of this without turning Dixie Carter and AJ Styles heel somehow. Unless that's the plan, and it's going to be like evil Stephanie McMahon in 1999, at the end of 99, where you're like, that was kind of hot. I mean, yeah, stuff. But they could go there with Dixie and AJ, and it would be intriguing, but again, then it's another heel authority figure in TNA, and is it going to be Hulk Hogan versus Dixie Carter, brother? Again, brother. Then we saw a video of Kurt Angle and AJ Styles from 2006, the Genesis pay-per-view. Kurt's first as an active member of the TNA roster, and they went straight to Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe in that match, and Kurt made Samoa Joe tap after a great match, ending his undefeated streak at 18 months. And I have some thoughts on this. It's revisionist, yes. I was wondering this back in 2006. Why did they bring Kurt in and immediately feud him with Joe? I know it was the obvious feud, but they went there fast. They didn't give you time to think about it. They didn't say what would happen if they didn't. I mean, I was a proponent at the time of them being a tag team for a while and being dominant and then having them break up and, or not even a tag team, but, you know, kind of frenzies where they've got each other's backs and then you have them break up and you have the dream match feel, plus you have the friendship ending. Yeah, I know. I have thought way too much about this since 2006, but I think it was a missed opportunity to really build up Angle versus Joe. Now, on this show, they built up Angle versus Joe really well. They showed that segment, and then you had Joe and Kurt Angle talking backstage, and Joe was like, you remember that headbutt? And Angle was like, yeah, well, you know, tonight we get this thing going again. And Joe agreed and was like, if I have to go through you to get my belt back, I'm fine with that. Joe, it hasn't been your belt for 4 years. I'm sorry, it hasn't. But then Angle held up one hand and said, look at my hand, and slapped him with the other one. And that was that segment. They talked about the reigniting of this feud all night. And they did a really nice job making it feel like this feud was going to reignite. You're going to see one of the best things in TNA history right back here. Of course, I don't feel like they had a match that really reignited the feud, but I'll get to that in a few moments anyways. Then we had Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson. Anderson was backstage on his iPad. This was like the iPad presents TNA Wrestling. On his iPad, looking at pictures of the finish from Sacrifice of him and Hardy, he said, no matter what, I'm going to beat Hardy tonight. Slammiversary video recapped AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe at the Unbreakable 2005 pay-per-view in their amazing three-way match. One of the top three three-way matches in wrestling history. I will put it up there with any of them. And for the record, I think the other two are the Vengeance 2002 match between Kurt Angle, The Undertaker, and The Rock, and the WrestleMania 20 main event between Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Chris Benoit. All three are awesome. All three were absolutely brilliant. And they're interchangeable. I change which ones I like by the day, which one I like more by the day, but this is just an amazing match. Go out of your way to see it if you're a newer fan and you haven't. It's the match that put TNA on the map. It's what brought them to my attention back in 2005. You've got to see this match. Then we had a match that we don't need to see. And that was Mr. Anderson versus Jeff Hardy. Man, what are they even feuding about? I don't really like either of them right now as far as wrestling characters go. They're just not needed, you know? But this was Anderson versus Hardy. Hardy got the win in 5 minutes and 55 seconds. But it was a, it was a roll-up type pin. It was a fluke pin, not a swanton finisher type of pin. So that happened. Then the announcers have the, Hardy joins Bully Ray and AJ Styles, and he gets a spot. A graphic hyped the Knockouts title match next. By the way, I know I mentioned it before, but talking about title, putting title matches on TV this way. They're random. It makes Open Fight Night seem less important. It makes a lot of what TNA is doing really seem a little bit pointless. It's all part of creating and maintaining a consistent narrative. And, we all know that TNA doesn't do that super well. So, then we had highlights of Samoa Joe winning the TNA title at Lockdown 2008. Again, great match, that MMA hybrid style. Really something cool that Angle and Joe were able to pull off that night. Watching these clips, I thought to myself, man, if Samoa Joe were as motivated and as in shape as he was back then, and, 2008. We're talking about 4 years ago. We're talking about the first match between them is 5 years ago. Right? Genesis? Yeah, something like that. But we're talking about 2008. Oh, I think it was Genesis 2007 that Joe and Angle happened at. My bad. But we're talking about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, these two guys going at it. Angle, well, he's not as good as he once was, and nor is Samoa Joe. But Joe, if he had stayed in better shape, if he were as motivated, if creative were to have kept his character consistent and not given him sparkly shorts and a giant Rambo knife and face tattoos and all that and just let him go out there and be Joe, man, he would be in a much different place right now. I really think so. And part of me wonders if his lack of motivation is based on the push the creative has given him, or if he just goes, you know what, TNA, you're paying me a lot. I'm going to go out there and do what I'm told. I'm going to have fun, going to have some good matches on occasion. But, just Joe hanging out. Like, I really wonder, even if WWE did come calling tomorrow, if Joe would take it or just say, are you kidding? I'm not going to leave this cushy schedule. I'm not going to leave all that. I'm pretty well set. Like, I wonder if the motivation just isn't there for him at this point, no matter what the push is. Who knows? But, our next match was Gail Kim versus Brooke Tessmacher versus Velvet Sky for the TNA Knockouts title, and it was sloppy. It was quite sloppy, and Gail Kim and Brooke Tessmacher just had a good match at the pay-per-view on Sunday, so I'm going to blame Velvet Sky, who doesn't really know how to put wrestling moves on people. She's terrible. Gail Kim won this match by pinning Brooke Tessmacher after Velvet Sky did her stupid finishing move in 4 minutes and 40 seconds. Put her in a wrestler's corner. Let her get a baby face over. Let her do that. Don't have her in the ring constantly. She looks ridiculous. Like, she exposes wrestling as fake because she's awful at it. I just don't like Velvet Sky, by the way. I find her whole act with the crotch on the ropes and all of that to be tasteless. I don't really find her attractive, and her act itself makes her less attractive to me. Plus, every Knockouts match, you've got Mike Tenay and Taz sitting there, perving out over it like, ha-ha, ha-ha, they have vaginas, we like those. It's gross, guys. It is seriously disgusting. Like, I've said this before. You know how everyone kind of has that pervy relative or that friend who will just openly watch porn for no reason while you're over there or whatever? It's like sitting there and watching wrestling with them. Ha! I'll bet those ladies have boobs I'd like to touch. They sure do, Taz. And let me tell you something about boobs. They are nice. Well, oh, I know that today. Boobs are great. Boobs, boobs, boobs. Yeah, Taz, but let's not forget about butts. Good point, Tenay. Butts. That is Mike Tenay and Taz during a Knockouts match. They're terrible. They're bad commentators anyways. But you put them there in a Knockouts match and suddenly it's like the bad gets 14 times worse. Enough ranting about them. Then we got Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe. Kurt Angle won this one in 12:25. It was an okay match. The issue that I had with it, and maybe it's me and the clips they showed throughout the night, I really thought that we were going to get something rekindled here. I actually thought that it's possible that for the 10th anniversary show, the plan is Angle versus Joe. And to get that reignited, to get that fire started in Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe once again. And I thought it would be a good idea. They haven't really been there since 2008, and both men have done a lot since then, but it's a good place to go. Angle and Joe have great chemistry. It showed in this match. They had good in-ring chemistry. You know, I'm sure for them, even if they haven't wrestled in years together, it was like getting on a bike. You know, you get in there and with a guy that you've been in the ring with that much, they did house shows and stuff together. Yeah, it just works. It just feels right. I thought that this match was pretty disappointing. Nothing was botched. Nothing was really bad about it. But I left it disappointed because I got my hopes up at the beginning of the night that we were going to get a Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe match. Not a, it's a TV main event, whatever. And I think TNA led us to believe that. And, you know, that's me. I got my hopes up for it. You guys might be sitting there going, you're crazy, Will. This was awesome. This was great. You know, you can't complain about a good TV main event. And you know, when you've got Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe in there, man, you just want to see Angle versus Joe. The good part of Angle versus Joe. And I don't think we really got that. The match also, you know, Kurt Angle won it. So next week, you've got four challengers lined up for Bobby Roode. Kurt Angle, Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy, and AJ Styles. Who will Hogan pick? That's going to be the story of the show. I would rather see a four-way match or a tournament type of thing or something that goes on between them to really put that wrestler over. But instead, it's going to be Hogan going, you go out there and have your match, brother. A few quick notes on that. I really, and Jason Powell laid this out, I think, in his TNA Sacrifice audio. I really wish it were Austin Aries going into this, and Austin Aries would get the call to go up against Roode. Because he's a guy right now who can take the champion to the limit. Who can, you know, do with Aries and Roode what Ric Flair used to do. For all of the local, you know, U.S., Mid-Atlantic, you know, all of the local champions in NWA territories. Go in there with the top babyface, the local champion. Have a great match with him. Make him look like $1 million. But still come out on top. And suddenly, man, Austin Aries hung with Bobby Roode. I believe that next time we see Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, if the world title's on the line, Austin Aries can pull it out. Austin Aries is growing. It's improving. You know, you can put Austin Aries in a really good spot by doing that. And I think that would have been a good choice for this next week's show, giving us a solid main event. But who knows? I mean, TNA might have great things for Aries planned in the next few months and not want to give us Aries versus Roode number one right now. This was a really good show. Oh, it ended with all of those guys coming out and staring down Robert Roode. This was a really good show. It was. TNA had focus here. They talked about Sacrifice. They made you wish you saw Sacrifice. The stories advanced logically from Sacrifice without just repeating the stories told at Sacrifice. And they did a really nice job of pointing towards next week's Open Fight Night. And I'm guessing next week will point towards that live show that they're going to do. Oh, by the way, they keep hyping a surprise for the first live show. And they're just saying, I just want, you know, Taz and Mike tonight. Man, I just want to know what the surprise is. It's like me opening a Cracker Jack box. I just want to know what that prize inside is, guys. So I'm guessing it'll be something mildly disappointing. I don't know, maybe Bjorn Rebney is buying TNA. Bjorn Rebney. Yeah, but this was a really good show. I was disappointed by the final match, but it was still a good match. And you had other good, you know, you had a good Battle Royal. You had a good Rob Van Dam versus Bully Ray match. And you had you had Jeff Hardy versus Ken Anderson. Good mix of talent. Good opening promo. The show was good. TNA can keep this streak alive. I really think they can. And one thing about them being live on a weekly basis is that creative team, instead of sitting down in the days before a pay-per-view and plotting out three shows, and, you know, by the end, you're just fried because you just put together you just put together 7 hours of wrestling, which WWE does in a week. You just put together 7 hours of wrestling. Now they're going to come fresh to pay-per-view and come fresh every Thursday, you know, to every Thursday show going, okay, what can we do now? Let's shift this over here. Let's, you know, hey, this worked really well last week and the ratings liked it. Okay, let's tape this now. They are able to get a better feedback on the show and it's going to fix a lot of their problems. Do I think it's 75%? No. Do I think there's a possibility that it might even be as high as 30 to 40%? Yeah. And I will be happy to see TNA improve 40%. That's it for me this week. Again, prowrestling.net. Check that member section, guys. Thank you so much for listening. This is Will Pruitt signing off.